This call is being recorded.
So I'm going to ask you guys a question. How do we create? Without reading this, how do we create?
Imagination in the mind.
Okay, that's great. Imagination.
What we focus on.
What we focus on, right?
What you believe.
So we've got belief, focus,
imagination.
And that's emotion. That's awesome. But it comes down to four things, right? I mean, those are all the emotional components of these four things. It comes down to thoughts, words, actions, deeds.
Well, actions and deeds are kind of...
You know, actions can be anything. Actions can be conscious or unconscious. It can be just pouring a cup of coffee. A deed is an intentional act. So a deed is something that is intentional that you intend to do.
Okay.
So that's why I put it in there because it has a little bit of a different thing. So when you are intentionally doing something, that is a deed. Okay. So, all right. So thoughts, words, and actions. What are words of empower? What, give me a thought or a word that is empowering.
I can't do anything.
I can do anything. Okay.
Courage.
Courage. Okay.
I am a leader.
I am. Guess what? I am are the empowering words. So whatever follows I am, whatever follows I can, becomes your reality. It becomes the reality that you sit in every single day. I am what? I am tired.
Happy.
I am happy. Okay? Now, there's a couple things I'm going to tell you guys about this. We have all these programs running. You know, we're 3D illusionary individuals on this planet right now with all these programs running. So if you have an unhappy program running, like you have a trauma program running or that you're not happy program running, and you say, I'm happy, what happens? That's right. Your brain says, that's not true. Your brain says, that's not it. So what I'm going to tell you about is, yes, you do change the vibration when you say, I am happy, even if you have an unhappy program running, but it takes time. It takes time to practice those things. We are human beings practicing right now. We're practicing how to be. We're practicing how to be conscious. We're practicing how to observe ourselves. We're practicing all that we're practicing, right? So when you have a program that disagrees with what your affirmation is, it will tell you it disagrees with you. Does that mean that you can't overcome that?
No.
But it takes work. Mm-hmm. You know, it really takes work. It takes time. It takes work. So I'm going to just give you guys an example. Hold on. I'm going to give you guys an example. I used to have a huge money. I used to have a huge abundance. Because money in this realm is part of abundance. So I used to have a big issue about that. And James and I made fair amounts of money during our marriage. And no matter what the paycheck came in as, it was gone.
Yeah.
You know, we could not hang on to it. So what I found out is I had a programmer. I had a limiting programmer. So no matter how hard I work, how much money I made, how many hours I worked in the workforce, you know, whatever I did, the action was not coherent with the program. So it never came true that I could be abundant, you see? So that's part of becoming conscious of ourselves, is what is that program running that's preventing us from having, being, doing what we would like to have be able to do. And that's huge. So we can walk around and go and say, I'm happy, I'm funny, I'm that. But unless you attack the program, it's not going to work. So I set out, because I was pissed. You know, I was pissed never having. angry. And I said, this is bullshit. I am not going to do this anymore. So I set out to reprogram myself. And I learned how to reprogram myself. I actually reprogrammed myself through Esther Hicks. So I reprogrammed myself. How long did it take before I really didn't, really felt okay?
Long, a few years. A couple of years.
Took me 5 years.
Yeah.
Took me 5 years. Took me 5 years. Hold on. Took me 5 years of reaffirming. I would do this morning, noon, and night. It would be playing in my car. I would, first thing in the morning, I'd be listening to her. Last thing at night, I'd be listening to her. And I'd be reaffirming. And pretty soon, the other program was running, kind of gave up. I went, hey. This ain't working anymore. So left, right? Now, every once in a while, because programs are trauma that are built into our cellular structure, every once in a while, maybe something will come back to trigger it.
Yeah.
And now that's where consciousness comes in, where you have to be conscious that the program has been triggered and that you have to undermine it, like right then and there, right? You guys, did you want to share something? Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I just want to share an example of what you were talking about. I had a program running when I first joined you guys.
Uh-huh.
I had been told that I had stage 4 kidney disease.
Uh-huh.
They had me in the transplant, on the transplant.
How about that?
Guess what? I think you have to have the belief that you do not have it.
Yeah.
No matter how much you say, I don't have it, you got to believe it. Mm-hmm. And I did. And actually, when I went into the transplant team, there was a doctor that told me, I told him, does these ever go away? He said, they never go away. I said, well, mine will go away. It's going to be gone. I shouldn't have said will. I shouldn't have said gone. But that's what I did say. And guess what? Today, I don't see any doctors. I'm not on a transplant list. And I do not have stage 4 kidney.
And that's huge. That's huge.
And I did not go see any therapist, listen to any faith. I listened to my higher self, and we said, we are not having it.
That's awesome. That's wonderful. And I want to talk about what you said about belief. Because belief is a funny thing. Belief is a program. It's just another program. So you can have good programs and crappy programs, right?
Yeah.
So if you don't have the belief, like I didn't, then I have to intend, the intention has to be there to change the belief. So you don't always start out with the belief. You don't always start out like, I'm gonna not be sick, or whatever it is, right? You don't always start out with a belief, but you have to realize in that moment that you can have the intention to have the belief. So once you realize you can have the intention to have the belief, then you can work on reprogramming that belief. You see?
What I have learned recently about the difference between belief and knowing, and what I've come to understand is that belief is from the mind, mm-hmm. and knowing is from the heart.
Yeah, that's right.
So when you know something, then that's your power.
Right.
It does
start with belief. It's a mental concept, and then you accept it into your heart space, and you know it.
Heart, mind, coherence,
and then you have your empowerment.
But I have to say something about what you just said. What you just said is so important because we're so heavily programmed in disillusion, we have to practice that all the time.
Yes.
Until it becomes an accepted conscious construct within our minds that it just happens naturally and it shifts the world. It shifts us and it shifts the world. We have to practice. We think we can do something once and it's there. It's not. Right?
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll encapsulate.
Or
she's coming up.
I manifested the house I wanted.
We know.
By mistake.
Oh.
Didn't know I was doing it. Go home from work every night, and I used to pack this house that was Nanny, and I every night. Oh, cool. That house is so cool. That house is so cool. I had no idea what I was doing. And within a year, my house looked exactly like that house. And I didn't do it on purpose.
Oh.
I picked out the color, I picked that all, and I went, oh my God.
That's my house.
And I did it with a car, and I didn't know I was doing it. I was on the road selling advertisers. You used to see this white Volvo. And I used to saw it everywhere. That's a really nice looking car. I swear to God, I didn't know that. But I had a stupid car.
Yeah.
And I realized as I was driving home from the dealership, oh my God, I made the stupid car. And when I ordered my second husband, I literally said,
yeah,
you're right. That's all. I went, this, and I swear, in the old days. But anyway, I told him I did order him. I told him I placed an order.
Did you tell him?
I told him
they were stupid.
No.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a method to your madness. And
that's how I learned that.
So, but you have to listen to how that occurred. This is so important. This is so important because there's a certain naiveness about it.
Yeah.
There's an innocence about it. So when you manifest something and you're surprised you manifested it, it's because your brain didn't get in the way. So when you want to manifest something and you think it's your brain doing it, you're gonna like calculate.
Yeah.
And figure it all out, and it's gonna be how much is in my bank account and. You know, like, what neighborhoods have the best schools? You're going to be analyzing, and that's okay. But it's really easier, right? It's really easier to just kind of pick out the house, right? So we did both. I'm an analyzer. You know, I mean, I'm an action-oriented viewer kind of person. But we did the same thing. You know, we just thought it wasn't as easy as what you did, but what you did is engage the heart. You felt it. Okay, so what's more powerful?
The heart
is way more powerful than the brain, but the brain is necessary. You know, you gotta have to find the excavators. You gotta make sure, you know, there's things you have to do with your brain, but the heart is so much more powerful. A much more powerful way to manifest.
And we're
still
in this post.
Love.
No, please go up to the
I remember this quote that really stuck. It said that the universe is a photocopy machine of our thoughts. The universe cannot discern between positive or negative. Whatever we put energy on,
Absolutely. Yeah. And we are always manifesting something. Hold on. We are always manifesting something. See, Orb really kind of encapsulated it for me yesterday when he said we're manifesting in nanoseconds. You know, so there's never even a nanosecond that we're not manifesting something. I mean, we're literally that powerful. So, you know, why not use the biggest tool we have, right? Okay, so what he said about the universe being a photocopy, we're always manifesting something, and our words, thoughts, and deeds either invoke a higher frequency or a lower frequency. So if we're invoking, if our words and our thoughts and our actions are really self-serving 3D kind of thing, then the frequency stays there. It just keeps accessing that same part of the quantum field and makes the same thing. Have you ever heard of same crap, different day?
Yes.
Right? Where do you think that comes from?
Reality.
No, same crap, different day.
Thank you.
If you're thinking the same things over and over again, you're just thinking the same thoughts itself over and over and over again, and it creates the same thing. And it, and what it does is it creates victims. You know, it creates people that are just utter victims. That, have you ever heard of this? That always happens to me. That's the thing. That always happens. That's just my luck. Oh, my goodness. And, you know, after studying so much of this, I hear that's just my luck. I go, yep, that is your luck. I undo a lot of unlucky people. I'll take action and create a different vibe so they'll get with the lead. So you can do that too.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, if you have the preference of manifesting something, the car person,
mm-hmm.
but how can you take that into something not self-serving so that you can attract the higher manifestation?
Well, let me ask you a question. What are you going to do with the car?
Go to work.
And what's work going to do for you?
The food on the table.
And where are you buying the food?
Sure.
From somebody that sold it to you, yeah. Right? And what else is that? Is that car going to do for you? No, it's serving everybody. It's serving the gas attendant. It's giving somebody a job. It's giving somebody a job at the grocery store. It's allowing you to buy food. It's allowing a farmer to grow the food, to feed you.
I visualize it in those terms.
Absolutely.
Not in my
Absolutely. You visualize, that car is magnificent because it's putting air, it's putting the world to work.
And if you visualize Tesla, then you are really
hang on. Oh my goodness,
right? So when you know someone that you're hanging on, is there any advice you give them?
Let it go. You're also gonna be that person that you're just moving on to.
Absolutely. Because you're one, right? So ask for forgiveness, right? So if someone is like lamenting about how crappy somebody treated them, right? What can you tell them? This confiding in you. This person really treated me crappy.
How is this serving you to hang on to this?
Yeah, how's it serving you? Right. And that's really, you know, everybody's right here. There's no wrong or right way to say it. But here's the challenge of being a higher consciousness being is how do you say it? Because how you say it is how they receive it. So if you're pedantic, if you're pedantic, if you're, and I'm pedantic. I know that. Pedantic means like a teacher, right? Only like a little daddy. So if you're going, so if you're saying, you know, what I see when you tell me this story is it's not serving. It's not serving your highest good. It's not serving. And it's not serving you because your heart is breaking. You know, I hear your pain. I hear your suffering. I know how you feel. I felt that way before. But here's what I found. I found that acting as forgiving that person is the highest thing you can do. End of story.
What I say, because I mentor a lot, and I never want to talk down to someone or anything or say level, I say, I've been there before.
Mm-hmm.
And now I found out that it's not serving me. I put it on me, and they get it or they don't get it. So I do not make them run away from me.
Yeah. Well, that's true too, Rita. But there's two positions here. If someone comes to me for advice, I'm giving it to them.
Yeah.
You know? Right. I'm going to tell them, I'm going to say, and I'm going to ask permission. I'm going to say, do you really want to know what I think? And let them tell. Okay?
Well,
and then the second thing is, if it's a really touchy situation, then you can use yourself as an example all day long. And a lot of times, when you use yourself as an example, people don't get it.
They do. And then when they don't get it, I let them have it.
That's true. Coraline.
Hopefully this latter. I was going to say that the how of how we say something, in my experience, always comes from the where we are coming from. So,
right on, sister.
Are we coming from annoyance, frustration, anger, or are we coming from love? And it's sometimes hard to have that love for someone else who doesn't always show up great. And
I find
the best thing to do when someone's not showing up in a great and I don't have that love, I got to just shut up. Whatever I'm going to say, it's not going to land. But conversely, if I have that love, I can say anything to anybody and they can hear it and get it.
It's intention.
Yeah.
You know, and that's absolutely true. So here's everybody can practice this right now. They can practice it. They can practice where they're coming from because that's right on. And you know what? When I'm coming from frustration, nothing ever happens. You know, nothing good ever happens out of that. You know, be married. That's all the lessons in the world. We get all of them, right? The whole thing to the world, right? So hold on one second.
Just one quick thing.
No, go ahead.
No, one other big thing, though, about the holding on to the emotional pain of someone that is wrong, that includes yourself.
Oh, boy, does it ever. Yep.
Because if we're not forgiving ourselves, you know, the whole thing is the next one. Nothing's going to work. So
right.
We have to really know that we forgive ourselves.
And you know what? The forgiving of ourselves is forgiving the way we reacted to something. You know, we're always kind of buffoons sometimes. So, you know, we have a bad reaction to something. If you don't forgive yourself,
You hang on to everything, right? See, that's right. Denora.
No, I was just going to say that we can also remember the tools that we have learned so far, and when we are into those uncomfortable situations, we can always embrace people in violet planes or in pink planes or in yellow according to the circumstance. And that's what I mostly do. And also, if I am not feeling that good or I don't know what to say, then I ask for wisdom and violet flame, so all those negative thoughts and feelings may be transmuted into love and light.
Lovely.
And I believe this is something that these verbs make the difference in what we are teaching the others, is the way we react. So if we use our tools for us and for the others, and then they see we're always calm and we're able to handle the situation, they usually ask us how we get it. How are we doing so?
Yeah.
So there is the time of teach. Because if somebody's upset, for sure it's not going to pay attention.
Right.
Because they don't want to listen to anything else but what they believe is right.
Right.
So it's waiting the right moment, and it will come eventually.
Yeah.
But we need to be patient.
Wow. Well, I have a lot to learn.
Beautiful.
No, that's so true. That's so utterly true. So sometimes our words don't even get heard. So, I have to tell you, my husband is very good at sending light to me. You know, he and I don't know when he's doing it, especially if he's had a fight. Like, damn it. I want to be mad. I'll even like go sleep in another room. And he'll be sending me like, it'll just change the way I feel, you know? Our egos want to hang on to those frustrations, right? But he's like one of those innocent, you know, like the archetype innocent, you know?
He's
an innocent. So he doesn't, you know, with innocence comes being naive and not thinking ill of anyone, right?
Yeah.
So he's just gonna throw a ball of light at her. And then when I'm doing my shows, you know, I'm a crafter and I do shows. And when I'm doing my shows, if I'm not doing too well, I'll call him and he'll go, okay, well, I just send light to my booth. And he'll just, you know, and people start coming around. They'll call me an hour later and they'll say, how you doing? Great, what to do? So, throwing light is real.
Yeah.
It's real. It's super real. It's super real.
And
it's kind of, okay, it's kind of better. But go ahead.
You know what's worse also? Get a picture of the virus plant.
Are you here? They already did.
They
said they're hearing the background, like, hold on, I'm being recorded so that they'll get a recording.
Okay.
They don't hear all of it. So it's okay, honey.
All right.
Okay. All right. So that's another great tool, a wonderful tool of reminders, like putting it on your visor, you know? I mean, we have reminders anyway, right? Everywhere.
I just had a comment about the violet flame that, let's remember that some of us that have come to be in service, that some of us have this type of, I can't remember the name, but this phenomenon where you can feel other people's feelings.
It's an empath.
And if you're an empath, boy, they're going to put you to work. And sometimes, you know, there's been times where I've been told that I'm carrying the suffering of large volumes of people.
Yeah.
And all along, I was thinking it was me.
Yep.
And so now, rather than crucifying my own self or being and being rude and all the thoughts that come to mind, now I have. daily practice where I just, by default, I just jump into the violet plane and just, you know, jump anything there. But in the morning, because it's now a routine, and that has been to make
wow, more better. That's wow, great. That's wonderful. So, and you know, Moses, I think most likely everyone here is empathic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I don't think you get a higher calling. I don't think you move past the fringes of 3D, like the asleep masses, unless you're empathic. You know, so I think all of us are in the same boat. It's just tools to use. Like, you're using the violet flame to help you, you know, not be so stuck in that. I mean, it hurts. It's painful, right? So I'm just saying that a lot of us, and I don't mean to minimize what you're doing at all, but a lot of us don't realize that we're in the same boat. You know, we're all having the same experience.
Yeah, we're muppers, and, you know, it's our job. Our job is to go mop it up, and then, you know, trust yourself.
Clean yourself up.
We're transmuting the whole earth.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, and you know, being neutral in that process is very important.
Very important.
See, it's very important. It's when you are attached to what you're doing. It's when you are emotionally attached, it's painful. Like, you're emotionally attached to helping that person. You're emotionally attached to making that person well. You're emotionally attached to making yourself well. Whatever it is, that emotional attachment is painful. So we have to learn how to create a neutrality bubble around us so that we can be who we are, neutral. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. So the next thing is words of encouragement. So the highest frequency is words of encouragement. The lowest frequency is words of doubt.
Mm-hmm.
So doubt. So where does doubt come from?
Fear.
Fear. Fear, right? Okay, so what are you afraid of? This is really important if you can recognize this. What are you afraid of?
That won't work.
Failure.
Okay, failure. It won't work. People won't like me.
Not good enough.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
What are those?
Disempowering thoughts.
Yes, of course, we are disempowering, but where do those reside?
In the head.
They reside in the future.
Oh, no.
You are living in the future or the past.
Like,
there is no doubt in the now moment. I am standing here. I can't doubt myself. But if I think about it, I can.
Mm-hmm.
If I think about how the hardest people are going to react to me, am I okay? Am I not okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is this stuff bullshit up here? Oh, my God.
Help.
That's all future stuff. So doubt always resides in the future or the past. There's nothing in the present moment that has even a smattering of doubt. You're just in power. You're just blocking your power in the moment. You see?
Very quickly. Does this make sense, anybody? I felt this as a download. Yes, yesterday doesn't exist, and tomorrow is today.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the greatest thing. It doesn't. Okay? Yesterday is gone, right? Even the last second is gone. I mean, it's John Ogilvie sitting on the bench. When we lament it, when we step back, we are disempowered completely. We are disempowered when we step into our past. That's why just listen to anybody that laments their past. And then look at their life.
They're holding on to the past.
Then look at their life. They're unhappy. They can't say, their kids are screwed up or whatever. They're always in the past. They don't have any money. It's because they're living in the past. They're not in power. Go ahead.
I learned something recently about the word worry. And
yes.
It's really transformed those who I've shared it with very briefly. That worry is fear of the future. It's a fantasy. Worry is a fantasy. And
yes.
It's not faith either.
There is no fear until you project it.
Yeah.
It's all a projection. You can project horrible things through fear. You can project project the worst reality you can imagine. But listen to the person that's speaking to you, and you know they're living in the future, or they're lamenting their past. They can't be in the present moment, which is disempowering, right? So all you can do is words of encouragement. You know, how do we handle that when somebody's, like, living in the past? We're light workers. How do we handle it?
That's right.
You can forgive them, right?
The price, $28, 1 gram.
What?
I'm just saying, Joanna, you're ignoring the people on the phone. Sorry. You know, you have opinions, too.
I want to say something. I'm really sorry. It's really hard. You know, it's really hard for me. So, because I got a room full of people here. But please, is there anybody on the phone that wishes to share?
You know, we wanted to participate, but when nobody asking us, so what's the point?
I just you know, you're really being a victim right now. This is
I'm not a victim. I'm not a victim. It just repeats over and over the same stuff. That's all.
Sorry. You would like to share now.
You know, because James always asks us, but Joanna, when you have your workshop, you forget about us. That's all.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing. Okay.
All right. Oh, my gosh. I love you, Joanna. You're awesome.
Thank you, Susan.
Okay, Susan.
Arena always reminds us of how hard life is. Because
it is. I just remind about what we should do. We should walk the walk what we say, but we don't walk the walk that we say. It's always we say what we're supposed to do, but we don't do it. This is the only thing I want to remind.
We're all still learning.
Okay. People shouldn't get offended when you say the truth. It's nothing against anybody. Just let's be fair to each other and respect each other. That's all.
Okay. Hold on a second here. I'm going to interrupt here a second. Joanna's doing the best job she can possibly do. She apologized. We try to make this as good as we can for the phone people. I know it's not perfect. We have it being videoed. That's something new that we haven't done before. And if you do have something to say on the phone, you know you can always jump in. I mean, we always give you that opportunity. But when she asked one time earlier if anybody had anything, nobody said anything. So that's why the people here in the room are the ones that are sharing. If you want to share, share. If you don't, don't. It's that simple. It is what it is.
Give that man a round of applause. Thank you. Thank you, my friend. That's my friend right there. That's for sure. Oh, okay. So we have words of encouragement. We have thoughts of joy and happiness. Okay, thoughts of joy and happiness. Sometimes we want to have thoughts of joy and happiness. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we see the world in a negative way because we are programmed from birth to see the world in a negative way. That we are programmed from the minute we're born, they're doing crap to us that's negative. They're giving us, like, what are those shots, you know? And they're telling the mother that, oh, your baby's not going to make it, or your baby's underweight, and then they make you come back. You know, you're terrified. When you have a baby, you become terrified that the child's running and gonna survive.
No.
You know? Yes. That's what they do. So that's a program. So we must, as the light worker contingent, reverse that. Reverse it. I know Lisa has told me, I'm going to use you as an example. Lisa has told me many stories. Can I share about that? Okay. Lisa was a nurse. Mm-hmm. Linda was a nurse. So for any of us, need a nurse. And what I learned, but I kind of always knew this, but she put it into words for me. Physicians, healthcare workers, physicians are magicians. Which means that what they tell you, you believe. So how do we fight? It's a program. Man, they have been empowered by us to believe that they know better than we do about our body.
Can we use the example of what just happened with you? Was that with a hernia?
Oh, I
you went in with, she went in with me. I got this hernia playing softball and everything. And I was told to stop playing softball and stuff like that because it's going to make it worse and there's no healing it and all that. And I finally decided to go to the doctor, which I haven't been to a doctor since 2003 was the last time. So we went there, and immediately the doctor did the thing that she does to, you know, to check it. And she said, well, this isn't going to heal. It's only going to get worse. You're going to need to have a surgery. It's a quick surgery, but you're going to need to have it. And that's it. But you guys make the decision. So I looked at Joanne, and we fell into the program immediately.
Yeah.
She said, well, I guess we should do it and everything like that. So then, and we got a referral to go see a surgeon for it, and went home. And then I started thinking, well, wait a minute, you know, it's not that bad. I can make it better. If, you know, this idea of it never being able to heal on its own, that's programming. Okay. So that was, 3 weeks or so ago?
Yeah.
And it is getting better. I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm not saying it's you know, exactly healed right now, but I believe it is getting better. I'm still playing softball. And, you know, so I'm just saying it's all programming, and we fall into it very quickly if we allow it.
Work with your content, James.
I was getting ready to read that out of the book here earlier, and I said I need some light to be able to read the book. Well, light is one thing, but then Claudia comes over with a pair of glasses.
Yeah.
That's the last thing I ever want to attempt to use.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, I have to be at a really desperate point to turn to that.
Yeah.
So that's programming. That's programming.
And you know, the truth is I really don't visit MDs. I mean, I really don't. I stay away from them. I find ways to heal myself. I'm really good at it. I'm very good at healing myself. But fear is insidious. You know, as soon as you move into that fear,
this is your power.
And look, thank you. You are completely disempowered. Someone wants to speak on the phone. Oh, does someone want to speak on the phone? Does anybody want to share on the phone?
Okay, I was telling you that I didn't really hear what was wrong with James, but I was saying it's not that it's doing it, but it's not that it's doing it where we have pain and we don't have
confidence. We can't hear you. Can you?
I know, it's terrible. I'm on my cell phone.
Somebody has their mic open and not muted because you can't hear the caller.
That's okay. Don't worry.
Sorry. We can't hear you. We're sorry.
Yeah, let's go ahead.
Try again.
Try again. Try one more time. James says try one more time.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's that. I was just saying, I'm a massage therapist, so I didn't hear what your condition was. But fascia.
It's a hernia.
Oh, hernia. Okay, well, it's still fascia. So since your intuition is guiding you to not have the surgery, there are ways to heal that. And I'll send you some information. I'll write to you.
Oh, lovely. Thank you. Keep that.
Okay.
Thank you, Yvette.
Okay.
She just said that it's fascia. So that's what, you know, that, and Linda's thing is, so there's a way to heal it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the moral of the story is don't listen to your doctor.
Intuition.
And what does the cabal say all the time? I mean, we've been programmed to believe. Go see your physician. Go check with your physician. It's on the commercials and everywhere. Don't do anything.
Go make some money for someone.
You know, the same goes for your animals.
Yeah.
The same goes for your animals. Oh, my goodness. I mean, listen, things have to happen to wake us up, and we have to accept that.
Indeed.
We have to accept the fact that some tragic thing might happen to give you a higher consciousness. So when my beloved, when my beloved dog died, my husky, of cancer, I realized I was doing all the wrong things for him. You know, he woke me up. Mm-hmm. You know, he woke me up, and now I am so vigilant. I have two new huskies, and plus our older husky, and I am so utterly stupidly vigilant about giving them all the right things, feeding them the right things, you know, making sure they have raw food, making sure they have the mineral complex that they need, the omega that they need. But I wouldn't have woken up to that if I hadn't watched my dog suffer and die. So I bless him every single day. That he gave me that knowledge, that he helped me understand.
We feel you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have to realize that when things happen to us, it is to wake us up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and life goes on anyway. You know, you know this is probably, I'm sorry, it's about me right now, but. I hired a pet psychic.
Oh.
I read her book, and she does good. I read her book, and I loved her book, and I listened to her on the radio. And I went, wait. And she connected with me, and she connected with my Micah, that's my male husky. And he talked to me through her, and I found out that they have the same path we have.
Same what?
They have the same path we have to higher consciousness. You know, they have the same exact path. They're a creature of God. They're here to teach us.
That's right. They teach us love, unconditional love.
Yes.
I know. I haven't been to a doctor for I don't know how long.
Good.
For the same reason. you know, I've healed myself of cancer twice, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But my children still say, if anything is wrong, have you been to a doctor? Or what did your doctor say? And I used to give them this thing. I don't go to doctors. I blah, blah, blah. Tell them that. Now I just said, well, I have an appointment for next week.
Perfect.
Just
perfect. And you know, I do the same thing. We all do it, Mary Lou. You're not the only one. We all do it with our families.
Yeah.
We just kind of ignore them.
Yeah. You don't like lies, doesn't Mary Lou?
We just kind of ignore them. I have a whole family like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't listen to them. Because they are so asleep.
Yeah.
And we can get dragged right down into the muck of the mire again. We have to be so careful.
And I try to tell them, you know, be positive about everything.
Yeah, forget it.
And they say, yeah, but, and I said, that's not being positive.
Yeah.
Well, just in case.
Yeah.
So now I just say, well.
So literally, that covers the next point, acts of kindness, because we are being kind to our family. By not arguing with them, not creating conflict for them, because they're terrified. They're terrified for us.
Yeah.
You know, that's their love for us. So you just find an act of kindness. Yes, honey. Okay, sweetheart. That's what I do. You know?
Yeah.
And I feel better and they feel better.
Yeah.
You know? You can agree or disagree, but I like that way. Okay, and then the last point, and then we're going to close for the day because it's 3:05. The last point is acts of nurturing. What are acts of nurturing?
Cooking.
Getting a massage.
Giving them a massage? Oh, you know, yeah, that's a wonderful act of nurturing.
Yeah.
A big massage receiver and a big acupuncture receiver. I love it.
Acupuncture and massage, yeah. So acts of nurturing towards ourselves and others, right? Okay, to attain a higher state of mind, a state of higher consciousness, we have to be nurtured. We have to nurture each other. We have to
We have to love each other and nurture each other and take care of each other. That's part of the deal. That's
yeah.
part of the deal of being here on Earth. So when somebody's being mean to me, I will find a way to nurture them. And it reverses it. If someone is being like with my kids, if my kids get angry with me or argue with me, I find a way to nurture them. I just go, oh, honey, well, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry that you didn't understand that. I'm sorry that I didn't consider your feelings. You know? And in the back of my mind, I'm going, what is going on here? You know, because I'm the best mother ever, right? but I still do that because it lifts them up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it lifts them up and allows them to hear me. The an act of conflict shuts everybody
mm-hmm.
down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
An act of nurturing opens everybody up. And that's all we have to know.
Yeah.
To raise everybody up. Anyway, so we're on page 5, so tomorrow we have another day. So thank you all. And thank you on the phone, guys. Sorry about that.
Okay, hold on everybody a second. Just for a minute longer. Thank you so much, Joanna. That was wonderful.
Thank you.
And we'll look forward to the rest of it tomorrow. And Claudia has something she wants to do really quick here. She wants to read something. So we're going to do that quick, and then we'll take our break. And then we'll be back with you guys on the phone again at 8 o'clock tonight. Don't miss it. It's all about what we're talking about here and actively moving into universal mind consciousness and how to do it. And I know the Ascended Masters are going to guide that. Okay, so go ahead, Claudia. Come on up.
Get out of your way.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I'm
tired. Oh, here. You want to sit? Sit.
This is the writing from Harry that he wrote actually for all of us as well to understand. Oh, okay.
Okay. Want me to read it?
No.
No.
And,
you gotta read it loud.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
He was sitting here. I mean, he's been awake for years. He lives in the now. And this is he has a unique way of expressing himself, but it's quite good, and I think you guys will like it. This is a cover letter. I'm going to read that afterwards. His essay is called The Good Seed. He calls the good seed, in parentheses, is pristine awareness. Is this awareness, this divine awareness that we should be living in, which is the now. It says the energy of creation is one, the goal. Life forms may function differently, but the creative force that makes possible for them to respond to living challenges means living relationships, not relationships with just people, relationship with anything. Something happens to you, you have to go to the market, all of that, living relationships. Is in the DNA of their prime directive. The fourth is intelligence, which is the mysterious expression of all that is. In all its forms, intelligence is an extension of itself. It's intelligence, which he spells with a big I, is also God, creator, all of it. Human beings will differ in physical stature, talents, and gifts, but there's one aspect in which our humanity is equally shared. We share the same pristine awareness. Because pristine awareness is contentless, it is experienced by all in the same way. The unique difference, but not better, between human being and other life forms is that only we have the extraordinary extrasensory gift, which he calls apperception, to simultaneously experience pristine awareness, oneself, and the outer physical environment, both at the same time, looking in, looking out, which others can't do because animals live by, what did you call that?
Instinct,
yeah. It is that gift which makes our effortless bonding to the eternal. Only in that state can it be known that I, pristine awareness, and the Father, intelligence, are one. And he quotes a lot of things like from the Bible that we never really know what it truly meant. If those acting as the temporary guardians of children would protect them from psychological predators, meaning indoctrinating them with the same false beliefs as was given to us, then the children, upon physical maturity, will recognize their true identity and destiny as spiritual beings. Remember, they're born all in 5D. They're perfect when they're born, but they grow up with us, so they lose it. They will know that living relationship begins when the good seed, pristine awareness, is planted in fertile soil, which is the unification of pristine awareness with the beloved, the intelligence. And another quote, of myself, I can do nothing except the Father in me that doeth the work. Presently, this intimacy is not being consummated because the guardians have allowed the society to do unto the children as was done to them. This separation is called sin. Sin is missing the mark of our ordained inheritance. Instead, what we inherited is a pernicious, deadly to the soul, psychological disease called mind. We were not born with a sinful nature, the aberrant mind, but rather we are born into an environment where from childhood we are subtly coerced into accepting society's norms. Those responsible for our descent into chaos, confusion, and corruption are family, friends, the educational system, government, and social institutions. He doesn't want to say churches because he doesn't want to push these people away. So that's what he calls social institutions. These untruths have been passed on since millennia. Sins of the fathers. Because of our fall from grace, means no longer being bonded to the beloved, intelligence, the Father, we have accepted those false beliefs, not realizing their immeasurable harm to our souls. In our present fallen state, pristine awareness can only see through mind's obscure machinations. When first pristine awareness accepted the false belief that its thoughts were self-generated, not realizing that they were being duped by mind, was the beginning of our descent into pandemonium, hell. Pristine awareness was no longer pristine. Our present identity as mind makes it acceptable to believe that we are something that we are not. He says that we're meant to live by pristine awareness. That means we're not meant to live by our thoughts at all. We're looking outside and inside at the same time, and I made a drawing here that I show around afterwards. Pretty cool. And what has happened that the mind is just a storage facility that remembers everything we've done and heard and whatever we programmed with. So it helps us, you know, if we need to pull something up and whatever. But pristine awareness, or the mind now, has turned it so it acts as pristine awareness. We identify with it. And that's the whole fall. Presently, this intimacy is not consummated because the guardians have allowed the society to do unto children as was done unto them. The separation is called... Sorry, I read that already. Where was I? In the natural state, the unification between pristine awareness and intelligence, there is no separate entity as me. We are not born with the power of self-generating thought. We have accepted the false belief that we have the ability to make independent choices, free will, concerning our life's destiny. We have accepted that we are the captains of our souls and so capable of charting a course in the forging of our destiny. All life forms will undergo clinical death, upon the demise of the human body, all of the stored information gathered from one's lifespan will cease to exist. In other words, when a lifetime of stored information and images are gone, so will what you believe yourself to be also be gone. We never were intended to have an immortal thought identity. The thinking process acts as a necessary tool in serving pristine awareness. Human beings will vary in their limited physical longevity, but that which is limitless is the bonding of pristine awareness and eternity. Regardless in which country one is born, when we again awaken from sleep, there is a knowing that when remaining in the natural state of ceasing awareness, we have again rediscovered our true nature, eternal life. Everlasting life is always now. It is false thinking that is responsible for our not being here, living relationships. So do not sleep. Francis is lost in thinking. When false thinking ends, so too will the mythical mind, will the mythical you, mind. When there is an objective awareness of the motives of the divisive energy, mind, we will discover that its self-centeredness always favors its indoctrinated opinions. The incompleteness of our perceptions is because we're not grounded to our completeness, pristine awareness. We see through a glass darkly when we only see the false interpretations of past sins. This state was spoken of by early writers. They referred to our confused communication with one another as the Tower of Babel. Isn't that interesting? Oh. It says we use the word still babbling when what another say sounds like a noisy confusion. Since childhood, we have been living under the semi-hypnotic spell that a great imposter, the aberrant mind, the gift of salvation, redemption, from those never-ending deceptions is by realizing that only pristine awareness has the ability to objectively observe its entrapment.
Claudia, how much more is there?
Half of this and some of those.
Okay. You just have to be conscious of the schedule.
Yeah. I'm almost done here. Now I just find where it was. Entrapment. Okay. That objective discerning is called apperception, a seeing that is beyond mind. That's what we should supposed to live in, seeing that is beyond mind. Apperception is a gift that is given to pristine awareness by the beloved. The fruits of apperception is freedom from the known mind. Again, by their fruit, responding to life's challenges, by their fruits ye shall know them. There is no destination to life's glory train. The journey is never ending, eternal. The fare to get on board is to be unceasingly aware. There is no other you, there is no other life. Life is real and only then when I, pristine awareness, am. All else is Maya, delusional. Now is always the right moment to end one's life, aberrant mind, and again rejoice with reality, being born again from moment to uninterrupted moment. So remove the cloak of the invisible body, aberrant mind, and put on the cloak of life's eternal body, the unification of pristine awareness and intelligence. End the nightmare, sleep of chaos, confusion, and corruption, and you will discover that each awakened moment is an endless beginning. That moment, that beginning, is my wish for you.
Not
me, I just read it. And anyway, I'll just...
Okay, thank you, Claudia, and thanks you guys for joining us on the phone, and we're going to sign off here now, and we'll be back again at 8 o'clock tonight, so don't miss it. Take care.
Thank you.
Have a good day.